You glad to be in the house of God? Come on, give the Lord a bigger hand clap of praise. That's who we're here for, amen. And welcome to Super Bowl Sunday. Some of you are not into it, I guess. Who do you want to win? One single Patriot fan to my left. You know, if you've been watching the news, all the information and concern and scandal and Deflategate, they're calling about those footballs being deflated. Hello, Kelly. It's good to see you today. The Deflategate, where they're accusing him of deflating the football. You know, I don't believe that. Tom Brady's so good. He doesn't need to deal with that. In fact, I was talking to him, and he said, Pastor, I'm going to send you one of my footballs so you know. And he sent me a game ball today, signed and autographed. And I just know that he would never, ever deflate a football. Come on, somebody. Now, this really worked in good timing for us because in our series, we're talking about new or the seasons of God that he has for us. Jeremiah 33, God knows the plans. God has some amazing stuff for you in your future. And he doesn't push us, he leads us. So he's not going to force you on the journey. But if you follow him, and we've been talking about how to walk through that process. And in that, the devil will have his tactics. 2 Corinthians, Paul says that we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And so today we're going to talk about, the Deflategate opportunities that the devil will throw at you in life so that you would miss the mark. And so we'll start with prayer. Amen. Bow your head, close your eyes if you would. Father, we thank you. This is the day that you have made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. We thank you for all that you have for us, all that you've done for us, and all that you're doing in us today. And Father God, I hold up every person under the sound of my voice, wherever they're at in their journey of life, whatever they might be facing. For some, it could be a crisis. For others, it could be a celebration. But Father God, I ask you to touch each and every one of them. Whatever they might need today for their next step toward their God journey, their God season, begin to bring that into their life. We thank you for healing for some, restoration, peace, joy, whatever it might be. Thank you for touching your people, for we serve a God who is more than enough, and we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You know, who wins the game, it can be very important for many people, but at the end of the day, a year later, a lot of us forget. But how you win in life lasts with you. And what we have to, and what we've been talking about in this series, in this new, and I've been trying to actually, by scheduling, trying to close this series down, and God keeps on speaking and giving me ideas to bring a little farther. And so we're going to keep digging in this, because faith comes by hearing. So some of these scriptures, if you've been with us, you're like, oh yeah, I've heard that. Stick with us. Faith comes by hearing. This might be news. Write it down, because faith comes by hearing. And there's power in the word of God. Amen? And God has great plans for each and every one of us. No matter where you're at in your journey, you might be in a battle thinking, this is so miserable, I just want to give up. Don't quit, because God still has more in store for you. God's not the author of the problem or the confusion. He is the answer and the solution. And if you stand with him, you can make it through. Amen. If you stand with him, you can get out of this, come ahead of this, and see a reward through this where you are going up. See, the Bible tells us that we're to go from glory to glory. I see that visually like a stair steps, that God wants to keep bringing you up to a greater place and journey in life. I don't believe God wants you to be high one moment and low the next moment or keep circling the problems. Oh, I remember that problem from last year. But I believe God wants your past problems to become opportunities of advancement for you. Amen? What the enemy meant for evil, God can turn for good. Amen? And so even David looked and said, what's the reward? I see a cause. What's the reward? And he saw that if he was going to go to a fight, that there was going to be some opportunity for advancement in that. And so as we're walking through the journey of life, God has some amazing stuff for you. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've done or where I've been. No, you don't understand how great your Heavenly Father is. That's why Jeremiah says that he's got some amazing good plans for you, not bad plans. The Bible tells us that eye has not seen, neither has ears heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has in store for you. but he reveals them by his Spirit. See, what I want you to realize, and we've been talking about, is that God doesn't want you to make up or create a journey. Hebrews 12:1 tells us to run the race said before. He doesn't want you to create or make believe or copy somebody else's life and say, that's what I'm going for. But he will awaken you to what's ahead of you that he's purchased before you were even around. Let me say that again. He will awaken you to what's ahead of you, potentially, that he's already purchased for you. We saw that in Elisha and Elijah. God sent Elijah to anoint Elisha to be the next prophet. And at that time, in the moment of time, Elisha was still just plowing the field. But God had already sent and started the assignment for him to be the next prophet. Elisha was just Elisha the man. But God saw him as Elisha the next prophet. And when Elisha was encountering the mantle of Elijah, which represents symbolically as the presence of God, he was awakened to what could be that was not that God already paid for, that God already started. Are you with me? We call it that it's the awareness of an absence will create a desire. The awareness of an absence will create a desire. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll place his desires in you. So what happens? You don't have to make or create or copy. You just walk out your relationship with God, and when the time's right, God will awaken you to what you don't have or you're not doing or you could have that he's already paid for you to have. See, it's all purchased on the cross of Calvary. Did you hear me? I've had people come up and say, do you think God would heal me? I said, well, let me help you out. He already has. According to the Bible, he already has. What do you mean he already has? The Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. Not our were. That means past tense. How do I get were healed and I'm still feeling pain? You got to understand healing was paid for on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. You might not be accessing it right now. You might not be making the withdrawal from that account right now, but it's yours. Say, it's mine.
It's mine.
Look to your neighbor and say, it's mine. See, we teach you around here that we don't want you to be greedy. God doesn't want you to be greedy. Greedy is wanting something that doesn't belong to you. That God doesn't want his children to be greedy, but he does want you to have everything he's paid for. That's what we want. So if Jesus is paid for healing for your body, don't you want it? If Jesus is paid for you to be blessed financially in the affairs of life, don't you want it? If Jesus is paid for you to have peace of mind and joy unspeakable and full of glory, don't you want it? See, we want what the Father has paid for by the blood of Jesus that's available to us. Amen? Nothing less, nothing more, nothing else. God, I want to walk in and have and do and become all that you have for me to have, become and do. And so in this journey, God sets and begins to show you what he has for you. He kind of gives you a picture of where you're going that's ahead of you. And then he puts it on the inside of you called a desire. Man, that desire will cause you to do stuff that the average person say, why are you doing that? Why are you going to church every Sunday? That's kind of strange. You don't need to go to church every Sunday. Maybe not for the person that has no purpose. Maybe for the person that has no desire. Maybe not for the person who understands that they're just sitting around going nowhere, but you're going somewhere. Why do you read the Bible? Why do you pray? Why do you do what God's called you to do? Because you know you're going somewhere. You're going to a season that man cannot create and man cannot stop. Come on, somebody. See, if we depend on just someone promoting us, then that someone can also take us down. But when God uses people and God promotes you, then the enemy and people cannot stop you. God will give you success with rest, which means you're not afraid of, oh, did I offend that person? I got to make sure everything's okay. God doesn't want you to be rude, but you can rest assured that he who brought you there, the Bible says, is well able to keep you there. Hallelujah. I gotta celebrate on that for a second. Hallelujah. The God who was able to heal you is able to keep you. The God who was able to promote you is able to keep you there. The God who was able to give, oh, come on, somebody. The God who was able to bring you through can keep you in victory if you let him. And so God doesn't push you. He leads you to the promised land. Did you hear me? He leads you to the promised land. And as we walk through this, it's not overnight. God does some stuff that's immediate. We see healings that are miraculous and immediate. But for the majority of the time, it's a process. Say, it's a process.
It's a process.
It doesn't matter if it's Abraham who's received the promise of being a father. It didn't happen the next day. Didn't happen the next month. Didn't happen the next year. It was a lot of years before it happened. If it's Noah who was going to be the deliverer of a people of humanity by building a boat, it didn't happen the next day. Didn't happen the next week. Didn't happen the next year. It took a lot of years. I don't like the lot of years phase. My patients don't like the lot of years phase. I like it immediately. But through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. Did you hear me? Which means it's a process. Say, it's a process. It's a process. And so we have to learn to walk through the process. We inherit. It's all paid for because you inherit. An inheritance is attached to someone who's died, who's left you something. See, you say, oh, I know when I love my family, but when they pass away, I'm going to be very wealthy. See, they can give you a little bit of the money every year, according to IRS. But you get the whole sum after they pass away. You can love them, but you know, oh, man, when they pass away, I'm going to be very wealthy. Well, when does God pass away? Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago and was resurrected. And now you're an heir of God. Joint heir with Christ. Are you with me? Are you with me? So it's all available. But we got to walk through the process. We have to get in the game. And we have to know, 2 Corinthians tells us that we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. He does not want you to reach your next season. He doesn't want you blessed. John 10:10, the thief's there to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want you blessed, healed. He doesn't want you reaching people, seeing people get saved. He doesn't want you doing anything for God. He doesn't want you serving God. He's not wanting you to reach your next season that God has for you. He's not wanting you to reach your promised land. Israel going to promised land, it wasn't overnight. Sometimes we delay it ourselves, but many times there's an enemy that's going to try to take you out of the game. So we want to talk about some of these things the devil will use against you on your journey to your promised land. In the game, what is the tactic of the enemy to try to cause you to lose? And if you understand what's going on, it helps you to do well. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So one key scripture, we got two main scriptures. The first one's Matthew 13. Look at this, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, he understands it not. Then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. What is being sown? God's word. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Say wayside.
Wayside.
Say wayside.
Wayside.
This is the metaphor. You say it this way. These are people that are near the road but not really in the road. These are the people that are near the game but they're really not on the field playing. They're spectators. They got opinions. They're experts. But they do nothing. Come on, somebody. They're not getting it. And the reason they're not getting it and they're in the wayside is because it's not important to them. In this phase of your journey toward destiny, toward your next season, toward what God has for you, the first phase is it important to you? Is God's word important to you? Is God's word a priority to you? If it's not important to you, you make it common, you don't give much attention, and you could be sitting here playing Candy Crush on your smartphone right now and wondering why you're not hearing from God. Ah, texting somebody. What are we going to have for lunch today? Are we going to tailgate? Is it still raining out there? Now, listen, you can do stuff without Jesus, but you won't do it God's way. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And what he's actually saying is without him, you cannot do what God the Father has for you to do. Because without Jesus, you can do something. You can sin, can't you? You can fail. You can mess things up. You can build stuff on your own ability, overwhelm yourself, stress yourself out, and then die early or let it all collapse and watch everything fall. You can do that. But when you do it God's way, you can't do it without Jesus. That sounds overly simple, but we need to remind ourselves. Say, I can't do it without Jesus. Let's say that I can't do God's way without Jesus. And so in this first phase of this journey, for some of this review, first phase, is the word of God a priority? If you're just kind of like, yeah, whatever he said, something like that, I think it's in the Bible, you'll not make it God's way. Because as soon as you leave, even though you've heard it, you won't remember it because you don't understand it. And it was just nothing, no big deal. I'm just getting through it. And then the devil will rob it from your memory. And if he robs it from your memory, listen, folks, you can't use it. You say, well, why do I need to use it? Well, besides the word, I have an assignment, Isaiah 55:11. besides the word being the foundation you build your life where you can stand against the storms of life, Jesus said, the word is also your sword of your spirit, which means it's your offensive weapon when the enemy attacks you. Revelation tells us they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It's not the word you think you know. It's the word that you do know. Hello. It's the truth that you know that brings freedom in your life. Not just truth. You don't bump into truth and it makes you free. You don't bump into truth and it makes you healed. You know that truth, and the truth you know brings a change in your life. And so if the word is not a priority to you because the word is truth, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. If the word's not a priority to you, if Jesus is not a priority, then you'll just shrug it off. It's no big deal. Yeah, I've been to churches. Yeah, whatever. Whatever they say. Yada, yada, yada. Yada, yada, yada. And you'll go home and you'll still deal with the same problems, never get it better, and wonder why God's not answering your prayers. See, when the word is a priority, then it won't be so flippant with it. We'll be like, I got to receive something from God. I was watching an old video of Kenneth Hagin, who's in heaven now, great man of God, and he was preaching. This is way back in the day, I think in the 70s when it was recorded. And I noticed something I shared in the first service that on the platform, it just caught my attention. I wasn't looking for it, wasn't expecting it. And I noticed there was two ministers that were sitting like right within a camera view behind him. One minister was just listening to every word, not worshiping the man, but valuing the word. The other minister was sitting there and just kind of shaking off some stuff and looking around and more just kind of checking things out. Wasn't really into what was being said. The one who was flippant about listening to the word, I don't know who he was. Never heard, never seen him. The other person was Kenneth Copeland before Kenneth Copeland was Kenneth Copeland. When Kenneth Copeland was early in his ministry. But I thought, wow, what a great indication. Here he is young in ministry and he was so into listening to the word. Why? Because it was important. Do you know how to know if Jesus is number one in your life? Not because you prayed just a prayer. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and not do what I ask you to do? See, it's hearing and doing the word. That's why Jesus said, anybody hears my word and applies it in their life, it's like a man who builds his house on the rock. And when the storms come, he will stand. Say, I'm going to stand because I'm applying what God is showing me from his word. Say, I'm going to stand even in the storms. See, it's a matter of hearing what God speaks to you from his word and obeying it, applying it. Well, I just don't see how it's going to happen. He didn't ask if you understood it. Obey. I've had people come up and say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I said, sure, I'll pray for you. Well, what do you need? I need you to pray for my finances. That's a common prayer, you know? I need God to bless me. Well, you know what? Can I be honest with you? How can I pray for God to bless you if you're not obeying him? Do you bring your tithes and offerings to the house of God? Well, no, I got bills. Well, welcome to the party. Everybody's got bills. I see you got new shoes on. Praise God for that. But did you bring your tithes and offerings to the house of God? I don't want to be that critical one-on-one with people, so I can just generally say it, and that you all love me anyway because I love you. And so, but the reality is we all got bills, right? I've never met one tither to say, you know what? God's blessed me so much, and I don't have any bills, and I got extra. I think I'll start tithing. It don't work that way. God says, let's see if you trust me. Tithe, even start where you're at. Amen. See, I thought that would get a few clappers. A few say, I agree. Some would say, I don't agree, but I'm not letting them know. And that's okay. You just need to know where you're at in the journey. I've known people that were so in debt and they decided, I can't afford a tithe. My budget's so messed up, but I'm going to tithe on my credit card because I'm already in debt by buying stuff. Might as well be more in debt tithe than obeying God. And God bring them through and now they're a millionaire. Amen. Come on, somebody. Yes. But this is not an overnight thing. This is not rub a lamp and a genie comes out and makes you a millionaire in 3 days. It's a process because it's developing you to be generous. If it was just a matter of you gave an offering and all of a sudden you had a hundredfold return, you'd become greedy because you'd like, let's have another offering because I want some more money. I saw me a new Ferrari. I figure I got my $1. I'm going to drop it and get my two. They got my 2 to 4, 4 to 8, somewhere in between this offering I'm going to get me in. Come on. It's a process. Now don't look at me with that attitude now. I'm just telling you the truth. Because we want God to override the process of his word. He don't do that. prayer is not going to override his word. He watches over his word to perform it. He doesn't watch over your word. He watches over his word to perform it. And if you're not a tither, let me just encourage you. Just pray, because I'm not trying to get money from you. I'm trying to get money to you. And the devil will whisper in your head and say, I just wonder what. That's a tactic of the devil. I don't know how you're going to make it. Well, of course you don't know how God's going to do it, but you got to trust the Lord. But you just be real with yourself. I'm not tithing, and I need to tithe, but God, show me. Make this real to me. Show me. Give me the desire and ability. Philippians says he'll do that. Did you hear me? Because we don't want you to do it out of pressure. We want you to do it out of revelation, because that's faith. Faith and obedience. James says faith without works is dead. Faith and obedience tithe brings in the power of God and change your finances. Because I'll tell you what, I'm not going to try to trick you out of your money. I'm too busy to do that. We got too many people to help. We're charging too many giants to worry about trying to manipulate people. But I got to tell you the truth. And this is not just money. Any area, if I'm going to walk the process, is the word of God number one. If it's priority, I'm going to do what he tells me to do. Say amen. Amen. Come on, say a louder amen. I can move to the second phase. I got to stay here all day and we'll all miss the football game and a third service will be ticked because they're standing out in the rain. We don't want that to happen. Say amen one more time. Amen. All right. So the next phase, let's go to the next phase. But he that receives seed in a stony place is the same as he that hears the word and with anon or with joy receives it. Immediately with joy receives it. Notice, yet he has not rooted himself but endures for a while, for when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he's offended. Here's what's happened in this next phase. When you start obeying God's word, you start advancing in this. You're moving closer to your destiny. When you begin to move closer, do you know what? People don't applaud. Sometimes all hell will break loose. You thought those people were for you. Watch the demons start screaming when you start serving Jesus. Whoa, why'd they act up? That's just the devil and them acting up. Just so you know, now you know. At least you know. You didn't want to know before, but now you know. Because pressure comes because of the word's sake. The devil start messing. You start tithing, all of a sudden extra bills show up. Come on. So I ain't going to tithe. I tried that once, and I got two bills. I went to my mailbox. I just knew God would send an angel with an envelope of cash, unmarked bills, with my name on it, no return address, and I went in there and I found an extra bill. That ain't right. I'm not doing that no more. This stuff don't work. Of course it don't work overnight. It's over process. You don't plant a seed and look for fruit the next day. Pastor, I want you to pray that God gives me a lot of tomatoes in my backyard. Great, you planted tomato seeds? No. How about you do what God shows you to do, the process, and then I'll pray that those seeds that you planted will, all right. It's obedience, the seeds of obedience. But when pressure comes, this is when the devil tries to get you to quit. See, the first time he tries to keep you out of the game, Hebrews 12:1 says, run the race set before you. He'll try to keep you out of the race, but since we're dealing with the deflate gate, he tries to keep you off the field. Second phase, when you're on the field, dressed out, ready to play, he'll start putting enemies trying to take you out. He brings opposition. Could be things are not going your way. Someone hurts your feelings. Well, I went to church and that greeter didn't even say hi to me like they used to, and I don't know the problem, and I'm offended. I'll never go back. What does it take for you to get so offended that you leave God? What does it take for you to sell the mantle of the anointing and your destiny? For one person in the Bible, it was a pot of stew. What is worth your future? Because the devil's bidding for your future. The devil's bidding for your destiny. The devil's bidding for your faith. What is it worth to you? Because he will throw people in your life that will discourage you. He'll get people across your life that will betray you. He'll get people that will offend you because he's trying to get something from you. See, a thief doesn't try to give you something. He tries to take something from you. The devil's not going to show up and say, you know, can you imagine going out to your car and a guy say, I got a gun. You say, okay. And he says, now here's a bag of trash. Take it home. It's dirty trash. And you throw it all over your kitchen. You better do it because I got a gun. He doesn't give you something. He tries to take something from you. See, the devil's after your destiny. And he'll throw people or ideas. Oh, I just feel so alone because I was sick and no one called me. No one missed me Sunday. And I wish I would have got 20 calls. I knew somebody and they didn't call you. Now your feelings are hurt. Pressure came. See, you started right. You're obeying the word. Pressure came. This is where you choose to quit or not. And the problem is because there was no root system. See, what we talked about last week is when you are dealing with the winds of opposition, what you need to do, very practical, is you got to evaluate and start digging deeper. You got to saturate yourself with the Word of God and the presence of God. You got to read the Word. You got to pray the Word. You got to listen to the Word. You got to confess the Word. You got to pray in the Spirit, Jude verse 20. You have to worship. You have to get in the anointing of God. Just not, oh, I went to church a couple Sundays ago. No, not when you're in a storm. You need to oversaturate yourself with the Word of God and the presence of God. How long? You do it until you get to a place of peace. And then you do it until you stay in the place of peace. Because the thing that will bring you to peace is the same thing that will keep you in peace. The thing that's going to bring you out will also be the same thing that will take you over. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we think of like just, I go to church and that'll be enough. No. When you are being attacked by the enemy, you won't feel saved. You're not going to feel Jesus. But at the end of the day, you're going to learn that I'm not moved by what I feel, hear, or see. That's a man or woman of faith. They're not moved by what they feel, hear, or see. They're moved by the Word of God. Which means if Jesus said he'll never leave me nor forsake me, then I can stand in confidence. I don't feel him, but he said it. I know it. When Jesus said, go to the other side, Jesus told the disciples, get in the boat, let's go to the other side. He didn't say, go to the other side until you run into the first sign of opposition. They woke him up in the storm saying, we're all dying, and that which means it's not going to happen. He woke him up and dealt with the storm and said, where was your faith? He didn't wake up and say, woo, big storm, let's go back. Retreat, retreat, retreat. No. He said, let's go to the other side. David didn't charge Goliath and got up close and say, wow, you're a lot bigger, closer. You know, back there, you look pretty small. I thought I could handle you, but you're going to be pretty tall there. I'm out of here. No, there's no retreat. Did you hear me? When God sends you, he wants you to get there. And the devil's going to create storms, but don't get intimidated, don't be offended, and don't back away, don't quit. What do? You dig deeper, and you're building a root system, catch this, where you're building a root system where you can access life when there's no life around you. Think about this. A tree with a good root system, a plant with a good root system, does not depend on others or the environment to water it. Well, you know, I went to the church and no one's been encouraging me. Like, I need more encouragement. Don't they understand? I need. No, you got to stop getting it. You got to get yourself out of that needy system and build a root system. Because when you build a root system, if nobody encourages you, you are still getting encouragement from the Word of God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nobody praying for you? There is an advocate at the right hand of the Father ever making intercession for you. If you got nobody, you got Jesus. And greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And if God be for you, who can be against you? See, when you dig deep, you have access to stuff that the average eye cannot see. They just look. And when everybody's in famine because no rain, you're not suffering because you're getting your nourishment. I tell you, I'm a little concerned of the what we call the carnal Christians or people who've been a baby Christian for a long time, which means they are totally dictated by how they're feeling. Because if there's a, God forbid, a time, a season of life where as God's moving his people forward, the devil's going to be putting on the pressure, but we're not intimidated by the enemy because we're called to overcome. We're called to be victors in this life. Did you hear me? Victory comes, 1 John chapter 5, comes from your faith. Faith comes from the Word of God. Faith is not moved by what you feel, hear, or see. And yet a lot of Christians are moved exactly by what they feel, hear, or see. They don't make decisions on what the Word says to them. They make decisions how they're feeling in the moment. And when you're in the storm, you want to quit. But let me tell you, never make lifelong decisions in a storm. I don't care what storm it is. Never make major decisions under the pressure of a storm. You got to decide now. We need an answer now. No, I'm not going to give you an answer now. I'll let you know. Well, if you don't give us an answer now, we'll do something else. Then you can do something else. But I am not dictated by your agenda. I am dictated by what God's leading me. And I'm in a storm. I'm going to wait till I get out of the storm. Amen? Amen. Come on, shout amen.
Amen.
So in this phase, there's opposition. Now let's look at that next verse. We're getting somewhere today. He that also receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word and becomes unfruitful. Notice it becomes unfruitful. It didn't say it was unfruitful. it becomes unfruitful, which means it was fruitful before this it hit this phase. Phase one, we got to keep these together. Phase one, Jesus is number one, which means his word is a priority in my life. Even if I don't totally understand it or see how it's going to work out or even like it or make me feel fuzzy, warm, good, and comfy, I'm going to obey it. Because I obey it, the word begins to have access to activate its power in my life to bring change. In that change starts happening, the enemy is going to create opposition. But now I'm developing a root system that I'm not moved by what I feel, hear, or see. I can stand through the storm, and even though it might beat against my house, it will end, and I will keep going. Amen. And so now I'm growing in this tank. And now so what the enemy couldn't do to keep me back, now all of a sudden I'm moving forward. So now that he knows that he can't push you back and get you to quit, his next opportunity is we get into our deflategate opportunity. And this season is when you start seeing the fruit, the successes of Jesus in your life. Could be your marriage, could be your finances, could be your health, could be any area, your business. And the devil will try to bring other opportunities for you to cut corners, to get there faster. Because the next season is not the last season. And the devil sees long term, says, well, I'm going to, if I could get them to redirect here, then I could keep them from there. And so he will create opportunities in life that look good, but aren't good. That look like a great idea, but not our God idea. Did you hear me? We see that being played out in Jesus' day. When Jesus was being tempted by the devil, and the devil took him to a high temple and showed him off this mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, all this has been given to me. Now, if you worship me, I'll give them to you. Right? What was he doing? Showing him, yeah, I can give you a short cut to what you're wanting. But when you start taking shortcuts, when you start trying to, when you have to do something that's dishonest, unethical, unscriptural, then it might look like the ends justify the means, but they don't. And if you've done that, just repent and get back around on track. But things are working and God is blessing you even at your job. And they'll say, hey, we notice you're really doing great and we're seeing the great potential with you and we want to give you a raise, but we need you to do this. And you're like, and you know that's not right. But if you don't lie about that person, they won't give you their job. You better be careful. Things are going great in your marriage. Things are clicking. And all of a sudden, the devil will send a little Facebook friend request. Come on, somebody. Some of you are laughing too loud. Just kind of hold a little, just a little composure. Do you know Facebook? I love it. Great technology. But it's been a cause to a lot of divorces because people starting to hook up with their first loves or first high school. So I just check in and see what they're doing. I wonder where they are in life. You better be careful. Hey, just a little message in the inbox. Hey, just checking. How's everything going? See what the devil does. You're doing well in your marriage, and he doesn't like that, so he's going to send another opportunity, a deflategate opportunity. God starts blessing you financially, and all of a sudden you can afford some things you couldn't afford before, and now you don't got time to go to the house of God on the weekends because you got to go clean your boat at the lake. Come on, somebody. Deflate an opportunity. Did you hear me? See how the devil works? If he can't stop you, then he'll try to push you into areas that you don't belong. He'll try to give you opportunities that will sidetrack you. And that's not what the Heavenly Father wants you to do. He wants you to reach the promised land. Let's look at the next verse on this. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, some 30. I always quote it as 30, 60, 100, but it's actually 100, 60, 30. I like to think of it this way. When you start producing the fruit, when the word begins to develop, because you've listened to it, understood it, and applied it, it's bringing change. Now when it's starting to change you, the devil will bring opposition. But you dug deep. You didn't buckle your knee. You didn't quit. You said, I might not feel it, but I'm going to stick this thing out. I might not understand it all, but I'm going to obey God. I'm going to keep doing it. And all of a sudden, you made it through the storm, and you're seeing victory because of the word. Amen. Victory because of the word. God doesn't use problems to grow you, develop you. If he did, everybody in third world countries would be spiritual. No, he uses his word to develop you, even in the midst of a storm. God's not the author of confusion. The devil will try to bring the storm, but God is the solution. And now all of a sudden, when you are you listening? When you take the word to the fire, when you take the word of God through the trials and the fires of life, see, people can tell you God doesn't heal. But if you already took the scripture, by his stripes I'm healed, and you saw that word become flesh and alive in you and heal your body, nobody can talk you out of that. When you've taken, got a hold of the promise of God's word, that he'll bless you going in and coming out and everything you put your hands to, and you see God develop you, nobody can talk you out of God blessing you. See, we're not talking about being greedy. Did I share that in this service or the last one? We're not talking about you being greedy, which is wanting what doesn't belong to you. God wants you to have everything he's paid for. Someone tells you, oh, no, that's just, that happens and everybody does that. No, no, not if you've taken the word through the fire. It's a sharp sword for you. Amen? Amen. So obey the word. Develop the word in your life. Do not quit. Next thing, we don't jump too quick when opportunities come. We're not jumping just because. Before, we couldn't even find a job. Now we got 5 job offers. Ooh, I'm doing so well. I got companies just courting me. And they send me stuff asking me to join. Yeah, you better be careful. Just because it's a good idea might not be a God idea. I've seen people do well in business and then get another opportunity. I'm not here to make you afraid. See people do well in business and get another opportunity and they jump on it just because of the pay was higher and they move them out of state and they disconnect them from the life connection that God called them to be in the house of God. And all of a sudden they didn't realize within a year the business went bankrupt and they're out of job that can never get back. What am I saying? You got to find what God wants you to do. You got to find what God wants you to do. If we make decisions based on how we feel, if you make life's career decisions on money, I shared this Wednesday night. If your major thrust of if you should do something is how much money, then you have prostituted your future. It is what it is. It is what it is, because you're up for the highest bidder. You better be careful. We find where God wants you to go, amen. When you find at this phase, it's beginning to see clearer what is a God opportunity and what is just an opportunity. And when you stay on that path of a God opportunity, God, I'm not going to do this without you. Moses on the mount, God said, Moses, I'm going to send my people into the promised land, but I'm not going. Moses said, God, if you don't go, I'm not going. How do you know? How do you know if you're stepping through a God moment is when you're insisting to take God with you. God, if you're not in this, I'm not going to do anything about it. Lord, you're going to give me peace. The Bible says, let the peace of God be an umpire, settled with finality, any and all questions that arise in your mind. So, Lord, if you're not in this, I won't do it. I don't care what they offer me. I know to pay some bills and I get a nicer car, but Lord, without you, I'd be miserable in a new car. Then I have to stress out about that car and everything else. No, no, no. I'm gonna choose wisely because I'm gonna choose based on what God is showing me. Last verse, we're gonna see trust in the Lord. And here's the Message translation of this. Do we have that? We throw that on the screen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. I'm looking for the Message translation. We'll stick with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Look to him in all your decisions, major decisions. Look to him. I'm not saying you have to pray before you order number one or number two at the fast food drive-thru. Quit slowing me down. I'm the one behind you honking. Speed along. Major decisions of life, you need to look to the word of God. You need to pray, God, show me. You need to, because my sheep hear my voice and follow me. You need to follow the word of God. In all my decisions, I'm going to acknowledge his word, and he will direct your path. Take it right here. Well, Lord, I don't totally understand. There's 3 good options. This is the one you want. He'll give you peace on the inside. Some of you walk through a storm, and you're like, oh, I just don't feel like this is right, but I'm going to do it anyway. And if I'm wrong, I'll just repent. You might repent and have regret. God doesn't want you to live a life of regret. He wants you to live a life of victory. Amen? Amen. He wants you to live a life of victory. Amen. He wants you to live a life of victory and get to the place of that season of victory where you are producing fruit, which means the word has become alive and changing you on the inside and outside, which means the enemy can't stop it. People can't talk you out of it. Pressures won't cause you to back away from it. And you won't go down the wrong path trying to get somewhere quick, because usually if you do it that way, sooner or later, it's going to come to light. That's not the path of God for you. Let's follow God's path and see victory. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.